I appreciate the applause. You don't know what I've said yet, so hopefully there will still be some at the end. Dr. Ryan Cole, I run Cole Diagnostics. It's one of the largest independent laboratories in the state of Idaho. Started it 17 years ago. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified pathologist, board certified in anatomic and clinical pathology. So yes, I have expertise in immunology and virology. I also have subspecialty expertise in skin pathology. So I do a lot of skin cancer diagnostics as well. I've seen about 350,000 patients in my career. We've done about 100,000 COVID tests in the past year, so it is right up my alley, and so I'm not just blowing smoke today. This is my area of expertise. So I want to be able to share with you today actual science. You know, we get a lot of politics from one side, the other side. I'm not here to offend one side or the other. I'm here to speak data, and the data speaks the truth. And so I have no agenda. I just want people to understand, one, what public health messages have we been missing? You know, what treatment should be available to everybody? I want to talk a little bit about the, quote, vaccines, and then I want to open it up to questions, because I could talk on this for probably 3 hours or 3 weeks. So, you know, this, I've only read maybe 6,000 articles in the last year, only seen, you know, like I said, 100,000 patients. So hopefully buckle up and something useful. If one person walks away and I help save a life, then I've accomplished my purpose here today. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you to my friend Craig in the back. I know he's got some handouts if some people are interested as well. So thanks for inviting me. And thanks to Lieutenant Governor's office as well. I'm honored to be here. All right. Dustin, my friend, let's advance here and we shall proceed. He's the man with the magical buttons. Yeah, go to the next slide there if you could, please. Oh, it's right there. This is where we are right now. So does that look like a pandemic? It was. It's not anymore. We are in an endemic now. Statistically, the pandemic is over in Idaho. Statistically, once we're below a set percentage, we are not in a pandemic right now. Is the disease present? Sure it is. Is it widespread? No. You know, we're still doing maybe 500 to 600 patient tests a day. At most, we're seeing 2% per day right now. And so the numbers are going way down. Next slide, please. You're doing the next slide, and I'm not. You're one ahead of me there, Dustin. We are past a pandemic stage. We're at an endemic stage. In most states, we are. Their numbers are still high in a few states, but we're getting past that point. And here's why. Coronaviruses are seasonal. They follow a 6 to 9 month life cycle, and no matter what we do, they're going to do what they do, and then they're going to fade. What happened to SARS? What happened to MERS? What did we do to stop them? Nothing. They did their thing. Average COVID-19 death age, 78.6. Average age of death in North America every year, 78.6. That's fascinating. What are our highest risk factors? Obesity, low vitamin D levels, advanced age. 90% of deaths in the state have been over 70 years of age. That's the at-risk population. We have stopped our society for something that's taking people that are already at that death risk age anyway. The virus is fragile. These are just little tidbits. It's fragile. It doesn't live outside. UV light fractionates it, kills it, blows it apart. Ventilation in the wind blows it away. It is insanity to wear a mask outside. It is absolute insanity. And that's science. That's science. There is not one study that has shown any super spreader event to have occurred outside. They have all been indoors with poor ventilation. Next slide, please. All right, biggest lost message on this entire pandemic is vitamin D. There is no such thing, and if I can give one message to all of you for every winter and autumn for the rest of your lives, there is no such thing as flu and cold season. There is only low vitamin D season. Next, please. Vitamin D, every cell in your body, every nucleus has a receptor for vitamin D on it. 2,000 genes in your body are controlled by vitamin D. 5% of your body's genome controlled by vitamin D. It is the master key to your immune system, the master key. If one has a level in mid-range, you cannot develop a cytokine storm. Data shows what kills people? Cytokine storm. If you are in mid-level range, you will not die from COVID because you cannot get a cytokine storm. Next, please. All right, so we don't just have a viral pandemic. We have an international vitamin D deficiency pandemic, i.e. 70% of the world is immune suppressed. 70%. 70 to 80% of all Americans are immunosuppressed because they are D deficient. 82 to 88% of nursing home patients are D deficient. Who's dying at the highest rate? Nursing home patients. 83% of African Americans, 70% of Latinos, 72% of Native Americans, 47% of Caucasians are insufficient, and 70% are deficient, and, well, 47% are deficient, 70% of Caucasians are insufficient. 80% of all hospitalized patients statistically are vitamin D deficient. 96% of people in the ICU are vitamin D deficient. If you are D deficient, you are immune suppressed, you are susceptible to the common cold, the flu, coronavirus of any sort, bacterial pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The best mask of all is a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system does not occur, next slide, please, if you don't have D in normal range. Well, how do we get D? Sunshine. You know, we synthesize it through our skin. Above the 35th parallel in the world or below the 35th parallel for 4 to 5 months of the year, you cannot synthesize vitamin D through your skin. The older you get, the harder it becomes as well. Vitamin D is critical. Every Idahoan, if you do not supplement, you are vitamin D deficient. You are immune suppressed in the fall and the winter. Next slide, please. So here's a good map of the 35th parallel. Anybody above that line is vitamin D deficient all winter long. Next slide, please. So, you can run outside naked thinking you're getting sunshine from October through March, like this fine gentleman here in the snow, and the amount of vitamin D you will synthesize from October through March outdoors running naked in your tutu is zero. Absolutely zero. If you do not supplement with vitamin D in the wintertime, you are immune suppressed. Next, please. Most insurance companies in Idaho and northern states do not pay for a vitamin D test, unfortunately. Other countries, Scandinavian, test their citizens twice a year. They supplement 35 foods on their food shelves with vitamin D. Why is Finland, Norway, Sweden doing so well? They take care of the public health of their individuals. They know that this is public health message number one for their immune health, so they do something about it. 80% of Americans also are magnesium deficient. Our soils are depleted. Vitamin D and magnesium play a fine dance. You need them both to work together in order to have a functional immune system. We're also zinc deficient, 70 to 80% of us in this room. Diet, 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 diet. What you eat matters. It affects your immune health. Obesity drastically reduces your ability to get vitamin D into your circulation. D is a fat-soluble vitamin. The heavier set you are, the more it goes into your fat and not into your circulation to stimulate your immune system. Normal D levels also decrease colon cancer, breast cancer, thyroid cancer rates, depression rates, suicide rates. 8 out of the 10 highest suicide states are northern-tiered states, go figure. Because vitamin D, it's not a vitamin, it's a pro-hormone. And again, it affects thousands of genes in your body. You get a D level up to normal, you decrease risk for all of these things, not just COVID. Next, please. All right, most physicians, unfortunately, don't know how critical this is. This should be public health message from the pulpits of Washington, the pulpits of every state, where we're pulling our hair, henny-penny, the sky is falling, oh no, oh no. What really matters is, look, if you have a healthy immune system, you have a healthy population. And we are not emphasizing that. It's, oh gosh, mask, distance, there's nothing we can do, et cetera. There is something we can do. Give the right message. And the right message is you can take control of your immune health. You can do something about it. You know, what goes into your body does matter. Public health officials have ignored this critical message. Normal D levels decrease your COVID symptom severity or risk for hospitalization by 90%. That's the world data now. There have been a lot of placebo-controlled trials that show this all around the world. It is scientific fact, not just a correlation like a lot of doctors will say, oh gosh, that's that vitamin stuff. I'm like, no, it's an essential part of the human body. It is an essential pro-hormone that your body naturally makes in the sunshine from spring through summer. Only a couple hours a day, we can get into that later if there's questions, because there's only about a 3-hour window a day. Without your sunscreen, don't tell the dermatologist that I serve, you need to be outside for 20 to 30 minutes during the spring and summer to get natural vitamin D. In the fall and the winter, you need to supplement to boost your immune system. The darker your skin, the further north you live, the harder it is to synthesize vitamin D. That's why the hospitalization and the death rates in the darker skinned populations, it is not social disparity, it is plain and simple biology. It is biology. The darker your skin, the further north you live, the lower your vitamin D level, the higher your risk for COVID and all other illnesses. So, you know, I understand there are some social disparities in our society, and you know, we can't fix that right away, but I hope we're working on it. But the biology of the disease is the darker you live, further from the equator, the less vitamin D you synthesize, the more immune suppressed you are. There's a cool little app called, and the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, that was after World War II to sustain basic life. The amount that they give there is like, you know, a drop of water in the ocean that they recommend. It is nonsense, absolute nonsense. There's a cool app, it's called D-Minder, and it shows you when you can synthesize your vitamin D. Next slide, please. So our esteemed Dr. Fauci said in an interview in November, well, gosh, I take 8,000 to 9,000 units of vitamin D a day in the winter. Yet, inexplicably, that's not a public health message. In a little, you know, side interview, I'm like, well, gosh, you know it. You know it affects your immune health. You work for the government and have been in there for 40 years. Make that a message to everybody, please. Okay, next. All right, so what should public health message number 1, 2, and 3 be? Vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D. Number 4, decrease societal obesity. Cut out the sugar, cut out the processed foods, cut out the carbohydrates. Those are all inflammatory. The more inflamed you are going into an illness, the worse you will do. Obesity is a predisposed inflammatory state. If you are obese, you are inflamed. I don't say that to offend anybody, but I lost 45 pounds 8 years ago. I've kept it off. Ask me later about that. But it contributes to countless diseases, you know. Next, please. All right, is there a treatment for outpatient COVID? Is there a treatment? You know, unfortunately, the three-letter federal government agencies have practiced therapeutic nihilism, apathy, complete apathy. No, gosh, if you get sick, go home. If your lips turn blue, then go to the hospital. If you can't breathe, go to the hospital. When in the history of medicine have we said to someone, well, gosh, you have pneumonia, but once you're sick enough to be hospitalized in the ICU, we'll give you an antibiotic for your pneumonia? Insanity. Insanity. We as physicians have collectively lost our medical minds just saying, well, gosh, yeah, you have an illness that we know is killing people around the world. Why don't you just go home and see how you do? Insanity. The earlier you treat, the more complications you can decrease down the road. And you know what? There's a treatment. Unfortunately, if there's a treatment for a disease, the federal government cannot approve a vaccine by law, by rule. So the NIH, who, you know, is involved in approving medications, they co-hold the patent on the, quote, vaccine with Moderna. If the fox is not guarding the hen house there, I don't know who is. That also is insanity, to have the government in bed with a private company vending a product that they want to give to everybody. And so when they look at the potential, quote, therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, I'm not going to talk about because pretty controversial. I have my opinions. I took it for 10 months. I swabbed thousands of sick people. I never got COVID. So that's my story on that one. There's a better medication. I'm going to discuss that next. Conflict of interest, federal government in bed with a vaccine company. Absolute conflict. They don't want a therapy to work because then they can vend their vaccine. However, next slide, please. They've tried remdesivir. 6 months ago, the World Health Organization said, stop using remdesivir. It does not add survival rate to anybody. $3,000 a pop. What are our hospitals still doing? Giving remdesivir. When does remdesivir work? The first 2 to 3 days of disease when the virus is replicating. By the time you're hospitalized, you are in a hyperimmune phase of a disease. Your immune system is what the hospitalists are trying to tune down. Remdesivir, again, it's like peeing on a forest fire. It does nothing at that point because the virus is already maximally replicated. Remdesivir, expensive, of benefit to the pharmaceutical companies in their back pocket, of no benefit to your health. Convalescent plasma, when does it work? The first 2 to 3 days of disease when the virus is replicating. Do people get that outpatient? No, they don't. They only get it in the hospital when it's not effective. Monoclonal antibodies, when do those work? The first couple days of disease when the virus is replicating. By the time you're in hospital, when the virus has reached maximal replication, does it work? No, it doesn't. Do steroids work? To a degree, they do once you're at an inflammatory stage in the hospital, yes. All right, next, please. Enter an effective prevention and treatment, ivermectin. So a lot of you may, you know, we're in farm country, horse country. You know, you give it to your dogs, your cats, your horses. It's an antiparasitic. But it's a molecule. It doesn't read the textbook and say, I can only kill parasites. It's a molecule. And fascinatingly, it works against viruses too, not just SARS coronavirus, but a bunch of other viruses as well. So in August of last year, we found out that it killed coronavirus 99.9% in petri dish studies. The NIH, what did they do? For reasons I already explained, they recommended against it. And they did it on monkey cells instead of human lung cells. They're like, oh, the dose would have to be too high. They fudged the data. Unfortunately, it works. It works. So what did the rest of the world do while we said, everybody go home and let your lips turn blue and come to the hospital? The rest of the world said, well, let's try it. So what did the rest of the world do? A lot of trials. 4 billion people on the planet have taken this medication since the 1980s. This medication won the Nobel Prize for the discoverer. It is that safe. It is on the world's safest and most essential drugs list. 4 billion people have taken it, with only one or two deaths out of 4 billion, and those people had a genetic disorder. Super, super, super safe. We've given it to people at 30 to 40 times recommended dose. No effect. No adverse effect. In the world studies, and again, therapeutic nihilism here, we're finally just starting to do some studies. Some brave doctors in Texas, in Florida, in Wisconsin have been using it in their hospitals. They have decreased their death rates by 70 to 90% in their hospitals. 70 to 90 in Houston, one hospital was using it. Now all the hospitals in Houston are using it because they saw what the one brave doctor was doing. It is an approved medication. It is safe. Is it off-label? Yes. Is the FDA approving it yet? No, because the smart doctors around the world, they're like, oh, they're not smart enough. Only American doctors are smart. We have to do the trials here. Meanwhile, Pfizer got their approval from studies overseas, not done here. So it's absolutely hypocritical of our three-letter agencies to be approving certain things that were done overseas and then not approving things that were done overseas. Placebo-controlled trials, there are 15,000 patients in meta-analysis. It has decreased the death rate, no matter what your therapy is. Ivermectin, if that's added to the mix, it decreases the death rate by 75%, if given early by 86%. What does that mean? Of the 500,000 deaths we have in North America, we would have 375,000 less deaths. There is blood on the hands of bureaucrats in Washington who have suppressed this life-saving medication. Blood on the hands of those individuals. How much does it cost? 2 cents. In India, an entire province, 200 million people, COVID's gone. They put little blister packs together for 2 cents, gave it out to their entire population. They're at their grocery stores, they're at their theaters, they're walking around, they're living normal life. Wherever it has been given in the world, they're back to normal life. In the U.S., it's compounded for about $2 to $5 per dose. You can get a full course of treatment for under $30 and decrease the death rate by 75 to 86%. So finally, some of the data from the world was presented in the NIH hemmed and hawed. They only looked at 11 studies instead of the tens and tens and tens and tens of other studies. And they're like, oh, there's one that shows maybe no benefit. 100%, next slide, please. 100% of the world trials have shown benefit. Decreases acquisition. Prophylactically, I've been on it for 2 months now. In Argentina, in a hospital trial, prevented 100% of acquisition in healthcare workers. 800 doctors and nurses were given it during their big outbreak. Of the 800, zero got COVID. Placebo group, 57% got COVID that were not on ivermectin. Scandinavian studies prevented acquisition by 88%. Multiple mechanisms of action of this molecule. Don't have time, long medical lecture, but it's fun to know. The beauty of it, it can cover all the variants because of its mechanisms, all the variants, unlike, oh, we're going to have to give you a new formulation of this vaccine or that vaccine or that vaccine. No, the mechanisms of action of this molecule against this virus don't stop. There's a great website, flccc.net. These are the doctors that are frontline pushing this forward. And they're the ones that got the NIH to finally listen, to finally take a neutral stance, to unshackle the hands of physicians that can prescribe it. I can say that I've saved 42 lives in the last 2 months. I don't prescribe very often, generally I'm behind the microscope or in the lab, but from one case to another and nobody doing anything. Elderly, obese, 83-year-old, 72-year-old, asthmatic, diabetic, to a T, every person that's had COVID I've treated with this has been better in 12 to 48 hours. 12 to 48 hours, to a T, 42 people. That's a small case series of patients. I know it works. Next, please. All right, vaccines. Okay, I'm going to be a little controversial here and may frustrate a few people. By definition, a vaccine historically is giving a protein or an antigen or a part of a pathogen and or a whole killed pathogen. Injecting a sequence of mRNA into a human being is a medical device. Historically, what we're doing right now does not fall under the definition of a vaccine. They shifted the verbiage in some of the Federal Register back in October so they could approve this. So it was a sleight of hand to change the verbiage. What we have right now is an experimental biological gene therapy immune modulatory injection. We are injecting people with a synthetic sequence of nucleic acid. We have never done this on a large scale in human history. mRNA trials in mammals have led to odd cancers. mRNA trials on mammals have led to autoimmune diseases, not right away, 6, 9, 12 months later. So this is what we're doing right now are not approved vaccines. And so everybody, how do you create demand? You create scarcity. Oh, gosh, we can't get a shot. We can't get a shot. Well, it's a beautiful marketing ploy to be able to say, gosh, there's a low supply. So everybody wants it now. Well, everybody may want it, but the long-term safety data is not there. 50% of healthcare providers are absolutely not getting this injection, and that's a reason. We don't trust the data. The fox guarded the hen house. The companies did their own data. There were no independent observer groups looking at the data. You know, do the shots decrease severity of disease and hospitalization? Well, they seem to be, but they don't fall under the definition of creating pure immunity and preventing transmission. If you're immune after an injection, why in the world would you still have to mask and social distance? That is an admission that they don't know that it's a vaccine, and that's an absurdity. There's no long-term proven safety. My biggest concern, honestly, is, next slide, please, Dustin, is antibody-dependent enhancement reaction. You get a shot, you're fine. Look, it's preventing this, preventing that. I'm not anti-vax, not tinfoil hat. I've had lots of vaccines. My kids have had vaccines. That's fine. But if you get a coronavirus shot, historically SARS, MERS, animal coronaviruses, you get a shot. When you're exposed to a wild-type variant of the virus 6, 9, 12 months later, the immune system can go haywire. In the SARS vaccine trials, in the ferrets, in the monkeys, 100% of the animals when exposed to wild-type virus ended up with immune reaction. I am sorry, I'm probably going too long, aren't I?
You're so good. If you want to just wrap up your comment.
I'll just wrap it up. So the vaccines are an experiment on society. Here's my comment on masks. Two states, one with mask, the esteemed Governor Noem. Next one.
There.
That one. All right, masks, business restrictions, no masks, no business restrictions. There's your curve of coronavirus. You can draw your own conclusion as to whether masks do anything. I can tell you they do not. Conclusions, lots of conclusions here. Public health message number one, pro-hormone / vitamin D, critical to every Idahoan's immune health. That should be public message number one every fall and winter for every year for the next 100 years. Absolutely. Two, there is an outpatient early effective prevention and treatment for COVID, ivermectin. Number three, your body, your choice. In my opinion, the vaccine is unproven and long-term safety is not there. We are at an endemic now. We are not in a pandemic. That's my two cents on coronaviruses. I know I'm out of time, and I so thank you for the opportunity. I can take them now. I don't want to take any of your
time.
Maybe
take a couple of questions.
I can take two or three questions now, and afterwards, I'll defer. I'm happy afterwards to hang out, answer any questions you have when the meeting's over.
Yeah, go ahead. And if you could just repeat the question after they ask you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Two more questions.
Yes, sir.
Is ivermectin effective against other viruses?
Yes, it is. It's effective against dengue virus to a degree, partially effective against Ebola virus. It's effective against all coronaviruses. It's effective against certain mechanisms of certain viral families. Yes, it is. West Nile included, which hits Idaho. It is
all.
Thank you very
much. Second question. I've heard that the mRNA produces adverse effects on placenta in terms of pregnant females, in terms of women who may suffer some adverse effect, who plan on getting pregnant in the future. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, so the question's about mRNA affecting the placenta and pregnancy. Long-term safety data isn't out. There are some studies that do indicate this type of virus, especially after you've given the shot and the mRNA is there, the spike protein, it's called a syncytial cell, and the placenta is a conglomeration of a bunch of cells conglomed together, and it can stick to the surfaces of those type of cells. It can cause an immune reaction and can cause an autoimmune attack. I have a friend whose wife, 7 months pregnant, got the vaccine because she was I hesitate to call it vaccine, got the shot, and 7 months pregnant, she just miscarried yesterday, right after the injection. Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. So the question is, what's a cytokine storm? So our immune system, we have a lot of white blood cells, certain ones, you know, it's a little army fighting off things, and a signal to this soldier, that soldier, this soldier, that soldier. So one cell sends out this type of cytokine and recruits another white blood cell. So you have your inflammatory cytokines that ramp up your immune response, and then you have your calming cytokines that calm it down. If you have low vitamin D, all those signals keep going, bring more, bring more, bring more, bring more, death. If you have adequate vitamin D levels, all those genes turn on and off and say, ramp up, fight, fight, fight. Hey, that's enough. You tune down, you turn down, you tune down. So cytokines are just signals from one soldier to another in the battle against a disease. You want a cytokine response to a set degree, but then you want it to go down. How can your body naturally do that? Get your vitamin D level normal. All the genes talk to each other. Improves immune health. Immune health, the best mask of all. Yes, ma'am.
So quick question then. So the lipid nanoparticles that are actually in the vaccines, can that actually cause the cytokine storm?
Lipid nanoparticle is the question. The lipid nanoparticles in these shots, 70% of us are allergic to polyethylene glycol. That is antifreeze. Polyethylene glycol 2000 is one thing they're putting to keep it from freezing. That can absolutely cause anaphylactic reaction in a lot of people. So.
This lady was had her
hand. Oh, I'm so sorry. I know a handful of brave physicians that are prescribing it. You know, a lot of physicians are very guideline-driven and very, what's the protocol, what's the guideline, what's the word from Washington? Instead of, I have a black bag, I have a medical degree and a license to practice, and I have a thinking brain, and one out of five medicines in America is written off-label for another disease. It's approved. These are approved medicines. You're just using it for a different condition. The short answer is, if you can't get it from a local doctor, there are online physicians all around the country that will prescribe it. MyFreeDoctor.com, et cetera, et cetera. There are a bunch of online sites. I know some brave individuals that are saving lives. It's frustrating to try to get the data to my colleagues and say, guys, we don't need the degree of death we're seeing. And this is a preventable disease. You can prophylax, you can treat. And not only that, down the road, if you have long-term symptoms, ivermectin can tune those down as well. It is a phenomenal medication. And it's an immune modulator, not just a viral killer. Thank you so much. I will hang out afterwards if you have questions. And thank you so much for the opportunity.